Hello everyone, my name is Joe Rubin, and welcome to the first podcast for DistroPix and VideoXPix, the premier company for classic sexploitation and X-rated cinema. Today I am honored to be with one of the foremost directors of such films, and one of the premier directors of the One Day Wonder, Mr. Sean Costello. How are you this afternoon, Sean?
I am great, Joe. Thanks for having me.
So let's just get right into it. Can you tell everyone how you got started in the world of X-rated films?
From the audience. I got out of school. I got a job as and I edited a magazine for a couple of years and just became terribly bored with it and quit. And I found myself being the sex addict that I was and probably still am. I found myself in the balconies of theaters that didn't show hardcore. There was no hardcore porn then. We're talking like 1968 now, and the smut that was available in those days was sort of phony documentaries about nudist camps showing women with flopping breasts playing volleyball, that kind of thing, and that sort of evolved into a kind of R-rated sexploitation films. And after a while, you started seeing a little bit of hardcore. But in the midst of all of this, I became fascinated with this stuff, and I answered an ad that was in the newspaper that was the sort of that it was before Screw by maybe 2 or 3 years, called the East Village Other, and the ad read something like, models wanted, nudity required. And so I was fascinated by this. I made the call. It was a photo session with some girls. There was a lot of nudity and sort of simulated sex, and it was pretty mild. Then I answered another ad, and pretty soon people were doing not stills but film, and they were doing stag films, which in the trade were called loops, which was a 10-minute hardcore sex movie. The first one I did was with a guy named Bob Wolf, and shortly thereafter I did one with Teddy Snyder. I continued to work for both of these guys doing these things, and I noticed that they didn't seem to be all that good at what they were doing, and I thought, well, gee, I could do this, and I really wanted to do this. I met a guy named Smitty, a Jamaican fellow that I met. He was like a street guy in Times Square. And he came up with money every few weeks or once a month or something to make a couple of loops, but he really didn't know how to do it. So I approached him and I asked him. I told him that I would come up with a storyline for each loop. I'd hire the actors. I'd hire the location. I could arrange the laboratory services if he needed it, whatever he needed, I could do for him, and I wouldn't charge him any more than $100 he was paying me already as a porn actor. So he agreed to this. It took the pressure off him, and this was how I started making movies. And I did this for, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, something like this. We're talking now the end of 69, the beginning of 70.
Yeah.
Gradually, I became more ambitious. The courts at this point had loosened the obscenity laws a little bit so that they were a bit ambivalent. I wanted to make a feature, and I came up with the idea of doing a movie called Forced Entry, which was my first feature. You have to remember, in those days, there were legal problems for the interstate distribution of hardcore pornographic features. This was the birth of this business. And in the beginning, there were lots of lawsuits. There were lots of arrests. Theaters were burned down. It was an amazing time. But eventually, things smoothed out. I guess the public got used to it. The cops got tired of busting theaters, and these things became legal. And that's basically how I got started.
So you worked for a time for Sid Levine at Star Distributors.
For a long time, yeah. Star was the sort of porn unit for the Gambino crime family, and Sid Levine was the sort of front man for them and the first guy there that I met. And I was not the first guy to make these things. People like Mike and Roberta Finley made One Day Wonders. A guy named Jerry Kaufman was making them. A guy named Leonard Kurtman was making them. I wasn't the first, but I was the one that sort of created a method for mass producing them. I went down to the store and I talked to Sid Levine and I told him, I can make two of these things a week. I've created a system for mass producing them that I could deliver to him a 60-minute feature film with sound and music, completely edited, with six actors, six sex scenes, a storyline that binds those scenes together, a 3-minute trailer with sound and music, and I could deliver two of these a week for $5,000 each. So he said, here's $10,000. Do two of them. If you do what you say you can do, we'll do a lot of business. I did, and we did.
So after working with Levine for a time, you got involved with the Greeks at the Capri Theater. That was Tom and Teddy.
Teddy Karyopoulos and Tom Joulos. Teddy was a sheep farmer from Greece who emigrated to America in the mid-60s. And when things loosened up theater-wise, he was able to open the Capri Theater and play hardcore films. He was playing a lot of the films that I was making for Sid Levine. And somehow Tom got my phone number. And I think the basic idea was to cut out the middleman. So Teddy approached me and asked me if I would make films directly for him. That way he could... let's say he spent $12,000 on a film, a much better film than a one-day wonder. You know, not a great deal better, but enough. And he could play that at the Capri Theater, make back his negative cost, and when he distributed it around the country, every dollar that came in would be profit. So it was a very good concept, a good idea for him, and we began to make money, movies together.
What were some of the films you made for him?
The first film I made for him was a stewardess buddy movie called Come Fly With Us, which made an enormous amount of money. I followed that possibly with The Love Bus.
That lady from Rio before or after?
That was after. That was considerably after, maybe a year or two later.
Okay. And then in the mix came The Passions of Carol. Now, how did you come up with a film like that?
That's a good question. I had been making, I think I made three pictures for the Greeks, starting out with the stewardess movie that I mentioned, and they all made a lot of money. I mean, these guys were just thrilled. We had a major thing happening, but I was bored. They were making money, but I was... The challenge of doing, like, I had made for Sid Levine 32 feature films in 4 months. I mean, that's just a massive accomplishment in mass-produced smut. And nobody had ever done anything like that before, so that was a lot of fun to do. But now what I was doing is I was doing these sort of formulaic sex movies, and I was bored with it. And while reading Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, sometime... in probably August, I guess, of 1974, I started thinking, you know, it's only really 4 months until Christmas. That's enough time for me to put together a movie I could make from this book. The challenge, of course, would be convincing Teddy Karyopoulos into putting his money into something this ridiculous. And that in itself was enough of a challenge to get me to go and pitch Teddy on this idea. Teddy never liked it. Tom, I was able to convince Tom, and the clincher for convincing him was telling them that this was a movie that needed a soft touch, maybe a woman's touch, and we should hire a female director to make this movie, and we should call her Amanda Barton. So I became Amanda Barton, and we made A Christmas Carol, which we called Passions of Carol.
And anyone interested in finding out more can pick up the new DVD, the remastered DVD of Passions of Carol from VideoXPix/DistroPix. And since this is your first time working with VideoXPix, can you describe the experience?
It's been a great experience. It's a combination of elements that have all added up to a good experience. Number one, this is one of my favorite films that I made back then. It was made for not very much money, but I always thought that I got a lot of bang for the buck on this one. And so it was a favorite movie of mine. I met you, Joe, a few years ago. We'd become friendly, but I didn't really meet you until I flew up to New York to do the commentary track for this project a couple of months ago. I met Stephen at that time as well, who I had only recently become familiar with. Stephen has done a wonderful job of putting this package together. He has a company that's marketing very good examples, I think, of what could be called the golden age of porn. Good pornographic films that were made by good directors back in the 70s. And he's doing a terrific job of packaging them and getting them out to the public. The experience with doing the commentary was an awful lot of fun. So this has been from beginning to end. It's been a great experience for me.
And on that note, do you have any sort of general words for fans of yours, fans of this film, or anyone listening to
buy it? That's they should buy it. This is a favorite film of mine. I think it's there's never been anything quite like this made, and I think very few people know about this movie because it opened and it closed pretty quickly. Back when it opened, by the way, both at the Capri Theater, which was a sex theater, and the Quad Theaters in Manhattan down on 13th Street, that was a straight venue. They had never played a sex film before. But the film was badly marketed. I think the audience was greatly disappointed that, you know, combining sex with Christmas was just flipping people out, and they didn't know what to make of it, and I think it really disappointed the general porn audience. And the straight audience didn't know what to make of it either. But when I look at the film now, all these years later, after the great high-definition transfer that you made from that 35-millimeter print, it just looks terrific. And I look at this and I think, this is a unique piece of cinema, unlike anything that's ever been made before. It makes, I think, a great gift for someone to give, especially at Christmas time. And it's for anybody that wants to see a good example of the kinds of movies that were made by people like me back in those days, this is a good film to buy.
Well, on that note, I think we're going to part ways for the time being. Thank you so much for talking to us, and have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Joe. My pleasure.